Why do so many of us freeze when confronted with percentages, graphs, or statistical claims? Perhaps it's because we've been taught to see numbers as cold, abstract entities rather than tools for understanding our world. Yet statistics surrounds us constantly, in medical diagnoses, political debates, weather forecasts, and even dating apps. The real question isn't whether you'll encounter statistics, but whether you'll understand them well enough to avoid being misled. What if the difference between a good decision and a catastrophic one comes down to knowing how to read a simple graph or spot a misleading percentage? Data comes in two fundamental types, categorical and quantitative. Categorical data sorts things into groups, political affiliation, pizza preferences, eye color. Quantitative data involves actual measurements, height, temperature, income, test scores. This distinction determines everything that follows. A survey showing 7 yes and 3 no responses feels underwhelming as raw numbers. Transform it into percentages, 70% versus 30%, and you can compare it meaningfully across different sample sizes. But beware, that cold medicine ad claiming 3 out of 4 doctors recommend might be technically true, yet wildly misleading if they only asked 4 doctors. For quantitative data, focus on center and spread. Mean, average, and median, middle value, often tell dramatically different stories. A company where the average salary hits $100,000, but the median sits at $40,000, reveals that executives earn massively while most employees make far less, a reality the average conceals. Standard deviation measures how spread out your data is. For data with extreme outliers, the interquartile range proves more useful, focusing on the middle 50% and ignoring distorting extremes. Well-crafted graphs reveal patterns invisible in number tables. Pie charts show how parts contribute to the whole, working beautifully with few categories to emphasize composition. Beyond 7 categories, they become cluttered. When other becomes the largest slice, your categories aren't capturing what matters. Bar graphs excel at direct category comparisons through height differences. Side-by-side bars extend this power, comparing across two variables simultaneously, like work-from-home preferences between genders or age groups. For quantitative data, histograms use connected bars, representing grouped numerical values. Their shape tells stories. Bell curves suggest symmetric clustering. Right-skewed patterns show left-concentrated data with right tails, and bimodal shapes reveal two distinct peaks, suggesting different underlying groups. Box plots condense data into 5 key numbers: minimum, first quartile, median, third quartile, and maximum, perfect for comparing multiple data sets side by side. Line graphs connect time-ordered points to reveal trends, though verify whether monetary values are inflation-adjusted before drawing conclusions. Watch for manipulation. Yay axis adjustments can exaggerate tiny differences or minimize substantial ones. Histogram groupings can hide or emphasize patterns. A critical eye catches these distortions before they mislead. Probability represents the long-run percentage of times an outcome occurs. Flip a coin 3 times, seeking exactly 2 heads. 8 possible outcomes exist: HHH, HHT, HTH, HTT, THT, THT, TTH, TTT, each with probability 1/8. 3 contain exactly 2 heads, giving probability 3/8. Yet misconceptions persist. People believe random outcomes have higher chances, that probability predicts short-term behavior accurately, that you can be due for a hit after failures, that all 2 outcome situations are 50-50, and that rare events carry special significance. Lottery players select birthdays or lucky numbers, believing these hold special properties. Every combination has identical probability. After 10 consecutive heads, believing tails is due reflects misunderstanding probability's memoryless nature. Each flip remains independent. Casinos profit enormously from these misconceptions. Roulette wheels have no memory, yet players bet on perceived patterns or streaks, systematically losing money to mathematical reality. The normal distribution, that iconic bell curve, represents statistics' most important pattern. This symmetric distribution shows values clustering around the middle with fewer observations toward the extremes. Heights, weights, measurement errors, and test scores all follow approximately normal distributions. The empirical rule provides incredible predictive power. Approximately 68% of data falls within one standard deviation of the mean, 95% within two, and 99.7% within three. This predictability allows converting any normal distribution to a standard normal distribution through z-scores. If a student scores 85 when the mean is 75 and standard deviation is 5, their z-score equals 85 minus 75 divided by 5 equals 2, placing them 2 standard deviations above average, better than roughly 97.7% of students. Z-scores enable probability calculations for normal distributions. Convert values to z-scores, consult a z-table, and calculate probabilities for specific ranges. You can also work backwards. If selecting only the fastest 10% of horses, identify the 10th percentile, find its z-score, -1.28, and convert back using the formula. Understanding normal distribution provides powerful tools for making predictions, identifying unusual values, and interpreting data in standardized ways. Statistical inference draws conclusions about populations from samples. Confidence intervals provide ranges of plausible values for unknown parameters. A 95% confidence interval equals the sample mean plus or minus 1.96 times the standard error. This means if you repeated this method with new samples, 95% of intervals would contain the true parameter, not that there's a 95% chance your specific interval contains it. Margin of error represents expected variation in sample results. Without it, claims like 45% of adults floss daily lack meaning. You can't assess precision. Three components determine it: the critical value from the standard normal distribution, population standard deviation, and sample size. Hypothesis testing evaluates claims through null hypotheses, stating parameters equal claimed values, and alternative hypotheses, representing conclusions if null hypotheses are false. After calculating test statistics, you either reject or fail to reject null hypotheses. P-values below 0.05 indicate strong evidence against null hypotheses. Larger values suggest more support. Statistical inference always involves potential errors. Type 1 errors occur when incorrectly rejecting true null hypotheses, false alarms. Type 2 errors occur when failing to reject false null hypotheses, misdetections. Understanding these tools and limitations enables justified claims about populations from limited sample data. In our data-saturated world, statistical literacy is essential. Scrutinize graphs for distorted axes that exaggerate differences. Ensure pie charts sum to 100% and graphs include sample sizes. Always check margins of error. Without them, you cannot assess reliability. Verify sample sizes before trusting statistics. A survey of 2,500 people has roughly a 2-point margin of error, while experiments need at least 30 people per group. Confirm samples were randomly selected. Random selection eliminates systematic bias. Watch for confounding variables, ignored factors that lead to misleading conclusions. Remember correlation's limitations. It measures only linear relationships and never implies causation. Be alert for selective reporting or data phishing, sharing only significant results while hiding non-significant tests. Most importantly, reject anecdotal evidence. Stories make compelling news, but terrible proof. An anecdote is a sample size of one with no context. The plural of anecdote isn't data. In a world where numbers shape policy and markets, statistical thinking isn't academic, it's survival. Question the numbers you encounter and never let impressive-sounding statistics intimidate you into accepting claims without scrutiny.